Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Family Firm by economist Emily Oster applies a business-like, data-driven lens to one of the most emotionally charged periods of parenting, the early school years. Building on her reputation for translating research into practical choices, Oster frames family life as a system with goals, constraints, trade-offs, and limited resources such as time, money, attention, and parental energy. Rather than prescribing one ideal parenting style, the book emphasizes decision quality, clarifying what matters to your family, evaluating evidence, anticipating costs, and revisiting choices when realities change. It tackles common flashpoints like school selection, extracurriculars, childcare logistics, screen time, sleep routines, and behavior challenges, showing how small decisions compound into the rhythms of family life. The core promise is relief from guilt and overwhelm through structured thinking. Readers are encouraged to replace vague comparisons with concrete priorities and measurable outcomes, making parenting decisions that are defensible, adaptable, and aligned with their values. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, running the family like a firm without losing the human side. A central idea in The Family Firm is to borrow the best parts of organizational thinking while recognizing that a household is not a corporation. Oster encourages parents to define objectives, identify constraints, and treat recurring decisions as management problems. This includes recognizing that time and attention are finite, that parents have different strengths, and that children respond to incentives and structure in predictable but imperfect ways. The approach is not about turning relationships into transactions. It is about creating clarity so daily life feels less chaotic. By articulating priorities such as family connection, academic support, health, or independence, parents can judge trade-offs more consistently. The firm mindset also highlights that systems beat willpower. Instead of repeatedly debating the same issues, families can establish default policies for routines, logistics, and responsibilities. Oster also emphasizes iteration. A plan that worked at age 4 may not work at age 7, and families should expect to revisit policies when circumstances change. This framing helps reduce guilt because a decision is evaluated against agreed goals rather than against an imagined perfect parent. It also creates a shared language between adults, improving coordination and reducing conflict. Secondly, evidence, uncertainty, and making decisions with imperfect data, Oster is known for translating research and statistics into everyday choices, and this book extends that skill to the early school years. A key theme is that evidence is rarely definitive for individual families, so the goal is to make the best possible decision under uncertainty. That starts with understanding what research can and cannot tell you, average effects, correlations, confounders, and how context changes outcomes. Oster encourages readers to ask targeted questions such as what outcome you care about, what the plausible options are, and what the likely magnitude of differences might be. Many parenting debates are fueled by the assumption that one choice is categorically right, but the book often reframes them as trade-offs with modest effect sizes compared to family fit. When data is thin or mixed, Oster suggests using structured judgment, weigh the costs, consider reversibility, and decide how much time a decision deserves. She also highlights the value of simple measurement in family life, like noticing patterns in sleep, behavior, or stress levels, and using those observations to test whether a policy is working. This approach respects science while acknowledging real-world complexity, helping parents avoid both overconfidence and paralysis. Thirdly, school, childcare, and choosing environments that match family goals. The early school years bring high-stakes choices about childcare arrangements, preschool, kindergarten entry, and school selection. The Family Firm focuses less on prestige and more on alignment, what your child needs, what your family can support, and what outcomes you actually value. Oster encourages parents to consider practical factors that shape daily experience, such as commute time, schedule compatibility, after-school coverage, and the reliability of caregiving. She also emphasizes that many long-term outcomes depend heavily on family context, which can mean the difference between schools is smaller than parents fear. That said, the book treats classroom environment, peer dynamics, and support services as real considerations, especially when a child has specific learning or social needs. The decision process, Oster outlines, often includes gathering information systematically, visiting when possible, asking consistent questions, and comparing options on a short list of criteria rather than an overwhelming set of impressions. She also highlights the hidden costs of certain choices, like longer commutes that reduce family time or arrangements that strain parents and indirectly affect children. The goal is a sustainable ecosystem where children can thrive and parents can operate with fewer last-minute crises. Fourthly, building household systems for routines, behavior, and responsibility. A recurring focus of the book is that families run on processes, whether they acknowledge them or not. Oster applies a management perspective to routines such as mornings, bedtime, meals, homework, and getting out the door, arguing that predictable systems reduce conflict and conserve energy. Instead of relying on repeated reminders, parents can design environments that make good behavior easier, clear expectations, consistent consequences, and age-appropriate responsibilities. The family firm also treats behavior challenges as problems to solve rather than moral failings. That includes identifying triggers, separating the child from the behavior, and choosing interventions that are feasible for the adults involved. Oster often emphasizes that parental bandwidth matters. An ideal plan that no one can maintain is worse than a simpler plan that works most days. The book encourages explicit division of labor between caregivers, including who owns which tasks and what happens when plans change. It also promotes communication practices that reduce ambiguity, like family meetings or quick check-ins to align on the week. By creating routines and responsibilities that evolve as kids grow, parents can move from constant firefighting to steadier household operations, making more room for connection and enjoyment. Lastly, extracurriculars, screen time, and spending resources. Where they matter most, many parental decisions in the early school years revolve around how children spend their time and how families spend their time and how families spend their limited resources. Oster addresses choices like extracurricular activities, enrichment, screen time, and social scheduling through the lens of opportunity cost. Every yes implies a no. A sport may crowd out free play, a packed weekend may reduce rest, and strict screen limits may create conflict without delivering meaningful benefits. The family firm encourages families to define the purpose behind an activity. Is it skill building, physical health, social connection, childcare coverage, or simply joy? With that clarity, parents can choose fewer activities with higher fit rather than collecting commitments out of fear of missing out. Screen time discussions are treated similarly, focusing on content quality, context, and family functioning instead of a single universal rule. Oster also highlights that a workable policy should consider the parent's workload and the child temperament, and that adjustments over time are normal. The book aims to replace anxious comparison with intentional allocation. By treating time as a budget and energy as a scarce asset, parents can create a family calendar that supports growth while preserving downtime, minimizing resentment, and maintaining space for relationships. In conclusion, The Family Firm is well suited for parents of children roughly ages 2 through 10, as well as caregivers and educators who want to understand how families can make choices under real constraints. It will especially resonate with readers who feel overwhelmed by competing advice, pressured by comparison, or stuck in repeated household debates. The benefit is not a set of rigid rules, but a decision framework that reduces stress, clarifies goals, evaluates evidence honestly, accounts for trade-offs, and builds systems that are sustainable. Applied consistently, this mindset can improve day-to-day life through smoother routines, fewer arguments, and more confidence that choices reflect your values rather than outside expectations. The book is worth buying compared to similar parenting guides because it integrates research literacy with practical management tools. Many books either focus on developmental theory without actionable structure or offer prescriptive methods that may not fit diverse families. Oster instead offers a flexible, data-aware approach that supports customization, encourages iteration, and validates that different families can choose differently and still do well. Readers come away with a repeatable way to make future decisions, not just answers to today's challenges. If you would like to support Emily Oster, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.